This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
That was from earlier today in beautiful Fort Myers outside JetBlue Park, where your Boston Red Sox are in full force getting spring training 2025 rolling. And it wouldn't be a spring training for the Red Sox. It wouldn't be Boston Sports. It wouldn't be WEEI if we didn't have a little controversy, boys, as following the good vibes of Bregmania and the three-year, $120 million deal Alex Bregman signed, with two opt-outs, of course. I think we had all agreed that if he actually opts out, it's a best-case scenario, because that means he played his ass off, or Campbell and the kids are ready, or possibly both. But now Rafi Devers, in a bit of a surprising move, Astana, if you will, has said, no, I play third base, as you just heard there through his translator. And then he spoke up about playing DH. You got a simple no.
No translation needed there.
Yeah, exactly. No translation needed there. As we were communicating during the break, and by the way, on the commercial break, I went outside and took a lap because I erroneously mentioned earlier we'd be joined by Jen McCaffrey of Mass Live at 4:30. Jen McCaffrey works for The Athletic, and she does a fabulous job covering the Sox for The Athletic. She will join us at 4:30 p.m. today to give us a fresh perspective on how things are going down there. I'm guessing right now, people are probably going to try to make as little of that as possible. However, there's no way right now that you can frame this and tell me that it's not a big deal, boys. We'll start with you, John. But I just feel like I won't say that all of the progress, all the excitement from the Bregman signing and the good offseason that the Sox have had, people getting healthy, Whitlock coming back, Story coming back, that all of that has been completely halted and the emergency brake was put on. But it definitely did throw a bit of a wrench in the dryer, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team that 3 days ago, 2 days ago, yesterday, this morning, we were all excited about, right? Alex Bregman, Garrett Crochet, Walker Buehler, the kids coming up finally, right? All this, and it's still a lot to be excited about, but this does throw some cold water on it, and it's the highest paid player on your team, the best hitter on your team, one of what, four guys on your team that's won a World Series before? Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong. You know, mm-hmm. So saying something, it just reeks of selfishness, a little delusion too, because you know what the simple solution to this, guys, is if you don't want to be moved out of third base, play better at third base.
Be like, halfway simple decent solution league average at it?
Would be to be, yeah, and he's been the worst third baseman in the league over the last 7 years. You know, whether you want to look at it through errors, through advanced analytics, whatever, he's been the worst third baseman in the league for 7 years now. This is not, he had one down year or a down month. Like, there's a lot of evidence here. And obviously, this is a guy that you want him to be happy. You want him as a major part of your lineup. But just look at the juxtaposition. Bregman comes in, signs a contract, and is willing right away to move to a new position if it's going to be the best thing for the team. And then you have the guy here not willing to even entertain that thought. And look, I get Devers taking pride in his position and wanting to be a third baseman. I get it. But you also got to step back and rationally think, wow, they've been talking to Bregman since November. Maybe this could affect me. And it's like that just never crossed his mind. Or maybe it did cross his mind and he was like, too damn bad, I'm not going to move. But it's just, again, from up here in Boston, 3,000 miles away on February 17th, reeks of selfishness.
You know, we heard a lot, Nick, during the course of the offseason that mm-hmm. there seemed to be a bit of a difference between what Alex Cora wanted than what Craig Breslow wanted, what Sam Kennedy wanted, who we've heard from, and what the ownership may or may not have wanted when it came to either Alex Bregman as one player, but also just with the concept of spending money on anybody that's worth their salt, on any veterans, on any players that are worth bringing in. So it, to John's point about the fact that it doesn't really seem like any of these conversations happened with Devers before Bregman was brought in, that does kind of prove that there seems to be a bit of a disconnect throughout this entire process between who wanted Bregman, who didn't want Bregman, what was the plan if we signed him, and hey, who's responsible for communicating all of this to our players? So was anybody aware that Alex Bregman was or was not going to be brought in? And did Rafael Devers, before apparently this morning, have any idea that he may not be playing third base for the Boston Red Sox? I'm still on the side of the team where they can make the decisions that they feel are best for the players on the roster, and I'm fine with that. But this does kind of reek a little bit of, I'm not really sure who was steering this ship when this was going on in free agency.
Yeah, I mean, we were lauding the Sox for finally stepping up to the plate and spending some big bucks last week. We were giving them their props and their flowers. And now I wouldn't say we go full recant on that, but you do have to wonder, like, okay, guys, what did you think was going to happen with your highest paid player who's in year number two of an 11-year, $330 million extension? He plays third base. Did you think he was just going to gently see? Did you think he was just going to cede it easily? Do you think he was just going to say, like, oh, by all means, please? Like, some guys have pride. Some guys want to play the field as well. Some guys want to think they can do both things super well. I think everyone in this, I don't want to presume to speak for both of you, but I think we're kind of in unanimity that we all believe the team would be better with him just at DH so he could focus on that and not lead the league in errors from third base, and that you give it to Bregman, who plays gold glove caliber defense. Like, this is all very obvious to us, but obviously it doesn't seem to be quite as clear to the player as well. Let's go back to the phones real quick. We were talking Patriots before the break. Back on the Bregman and Devers news right now, one of our favorites, Matt, is in Rhode Island. Happy President's Day to you, Matt.
And I think we just lost him.
And
so
farewell,
Matt. Feel
Matt.
Free
no one wanted to talk
to
you
call
anyways.
Back. But Fitzy, back on your
you
other point.
The animal.
There, like, I think, like, this whole situation, too, and it kind of made my eyebrows raise why Devers even came out at this time, because this is all hinging on Christian Campbell being ready to play second base. And I personally think he could be. There's a real chance of that. But if he's not ready, this is a moot point anyway. So I'm surprised Devers, a little bit at least, that Devers even came out now with this. Like, he could have brushed this aside and waited a little bit. But, I mean, if you're the Red Sox, your ideal scenario for opening day is probably Christian Campbell at second base, Bregman at third, Devers DH. Again, as long as Campbell shows he can play legit defense at second base, because their infield defense, especially up the middle, has been horrible for 2 years, and it's cost them games. It's worn pitchers out. So if you can improve that with Christian Campbell, great. If he's not ready, then it's a moot point because Bregman's going to be there anyway. So I was a little surprised, too, that it came out now. And I know he was asked these questions, but I was a little surprised he was so forthright where this is still kind of a little bit in limbo.
What do you think was the best way to handle this, Dan? Should this have been something simpler, maybe a little more nebulous, deferential, like, we'll see. You know, I would love to play third, but, you know, like, trying to, like, speak on behalf of the team and not just speak on behalf of himself. And why do you think he would take such a, I won't say defiant, but such a, it's kind of a petulant posture in that presser earlier today?
I think both of those words are fine in describing the way he went at it. And I'm right there with you where I would have been perfectly fine and honestly appreciated if he did stand his ground. Hey, I take pride in my defensive responsibilities and yada, yada, yada. And I've been trying to work on it. You can say all of those things, but you have to qualify it at the end with, but I'm willing to do whatever it takes for this team to win and be in the best chance to be successful. If he had said everything along the lines of I want to play third base, I have been the third baseman, I'm working out at third base, I took grounders every single day, all day during the offseason to be a better third baseman, but I also will do what's best for this team to win at the end of the day, nobody would have a problem, including me. But there wasn't any qualifier of, hey, if push comes to shove, I will be willing to play DH. What if Christian Campbell does make camp?
And that's a real possibility. And I think part of this, and Chris Cotillo tweeted this like an hour or two ago, and he said, this is kind of another signal that the organization believes and wants Christian Campbell to be on that opening day roster. Like, otherwise, a lot of this wouldn't even be, I feel like, coming up. So, yeah, and to your point, Dan, if Devers had said those things, we would talk about it. We try to read between the lines a little bit. But it would be a lot different than being like, wow, that was really selfish. Like, that would be a much different
conversation. We'd have a pro-Devers conversation right now.
Yeah.
I think.
At the very least, we'd understand where he was coming
from. Yeah, exactly.
Like, and I get it to an extent where you sign this big contract, and of course, Cora with that great knife-sticking comment of Himes in St. Louis.
Beautiful.
I love that one. But it's something that I understand if he's frustrated and he doesn't want to move off third base, but at the same time, like, you might have to, dude. Like, you might, and you're going to have to get over it. And if you're not going to get over it, then it's going to be a much more difficult conversation about what to do with him.
617-779-7937. If you would like to text in your thoughts on the Red Sox situation, Rafi Devers' comments, and what they're going to do with Bregman this season as the Sox just get camp going underway, that's also the telephone number if you'd like to call. Please, if it's your prerogative, if you want to call in and say you want to talk Sox and Pats and then hang up on us, go ahead. It's President's Day. Celebrate as you wish. Let your freak flag fly. But first, let's make sure we get you caught up on everything else trending in the wide world of Boston sports and beyond with our guy, Dan Ball.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Four Nations face-off shifts to TD Garden in Boston today. Canada has hung on to defeat Finland 5-3, guaranteeing them a spot in the Four Nations final against the United States on Thursday night at 8 p.m. Tonight at 8, meanwhile, the undefeated United States takes on Sweden. Sweden is 0-2 in the tournament, but both games have been decided in overtime. Matthew Tkachuk is out tonight for the United States, but is expected to play in the finals on Thursday. The NBA's refreshed All-Star Game format finished with a familiar result for Golden State Warriors star Steph Curry being presented the Kobe Bryant Trophy as the All-Star MVP. Curry scored 12 points in Team OG's 41-25 victory on Sunday in the first of 40 finale against the Global Stars to win the league's new round-robin tournament to cap off the weekend's festivities. Mass Live's Sean McAdam and Underdog's Jared Carabas have both reported that the Red Sox have checked in with the San Diego Padres on the availability of starting pitcher Dylan Cease. Cease finished fourth in Cy Young voting last season and is a free agent after the 2025 campaign. Also from earlier today, here is Red Sox team president Sam Kennedy on the team's plans for the rest of the offseason.
We're not done yet, so really been focused on the build of the organization, and we're hopeful that we're going to get back to the postseason.
So are the rest of us, Sam. From earlier this weekend, the Denver Broncos have hired former New Orleans Saints interim head coach Darren Rizzi as their new special teams coordinator, and the Jaguars have settled on 5 finalists for their vacant general manager position and will begin in-person interviews on Wednesday. With a 98% customer satisfaction rating and thousands of 5-star reviews, the choice is clear. Awaken180weightloss.com. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Athletic's Jen McCaffrey joins the afternoon crew to talk Sox. And that's next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising?
People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to WEEI.
Sox infield player Alex Bregman at his introductory presser on Sunday from Fort Myers just a day ago when the vibes were immaculate. Red Sox Nation was frothing. We were going back to the playoffs. Alex Bregman was the linchpin to the offseason. That's exactly what the Sox needed. They got their guy. Alex Cora was happy. The players were happy. Sam Kennedy was happy. John Henry was using $1,000 bills to light $10,000 cigars and put them on Instagram. The old Pizzuti special. My God, boys, everything was perfect. And then a simple exchange of words and a couple of questions asked to Rafael Devers, like today, where he was asked about how he feels about going to DH, and he said, I quote, gave them the answer I just gave you, no. And then he didn't even shoot down or rule out the possibility of getting traded because he's that adamant about playing third base. Well, it was fun while it lasted, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was enjoying our long weekend, our holiday weekend of celebrations and just, I think, exhales more than anything else. Finally, we've got our guy for some people, or a guy. We've got a guy that's won before. And that's... That was great. And I've seen a lot of this is going to blow over. Don't worry about the Devers conversation on social. That's the other half of the I'm pissed off at Devers is the this is going to blow over. Why is everybody making a big deal of this? This isn't an imminent, you know, something's not on fire right now. But this was the first time that I think maybe we smelled a little smoke around this situation, if that makes sense. Because before now, it's just been... Well, fan conversations. Well, what are they going to do? But it's more of just the fun kind of, you know, bar conversation. Now this is a player giving us a little bit to talk about, and that's something that makes me a little nervous.
And it's interesting, too. He brought up, like, oh, I've said this to the organization, right? It's not like he's just saying it in the press conference or it's just reported. He's like, no, I've said it to the organization. So I found that piece of it interesting as well. And like we said before, like, on one hand, I can understand him being frustrated and as a competitive guy, not wanting to move off third base. Like, I get that. But at the same time, you might have to, and you might have to get over it. And he just seems really adamant that he's not going to do that. And it, at some point, this is going to come to a head, because either he's going to move off it and it's going to be fine, or they're going to have a really awkward situation potentially in mid to late March.
So if he went to the organization and said as much, like, hey, guys, I really want to play third base next year. I plan on being your starting third baseman for the duration of this giant contract extension I signed. This is what Chaim Bloom promised me. This is what the organization guaranteed me before I put pen to paper. And they were still willing to bring in Bregman to play second or to play third and to press Raffy into improving his defense or to supplant him because of all of his miscues the last couple of years at third. What does that say to you about what the organization thinks about Devers?
And I wonder, does it have a lot to do with what they think of Christian Campbell and Roman Anthony even more than Devers? But yeah, I think it's a good point. Like, do they look at Devers as an elite all-time hitter, but not as complete a baseball player as they want?
You know, and if he were, like, let's say he were to come around on this. Let's say the best case scenario of, don't worry, it's all going to blow over, were to take place. Is no one able to, you think anyone's able to get through to him that switching to DH, like that whole, the big poppy proposition that we brought up earlier? And you think there, maybe someone will be able to get through to him on that front. Let's find out. But right now, actually, we are pleased to be joined on the line by the Athletics Red Sox beat reporter. She's been kind enough to join the program previously. You can give her a follow on the socials at JC McCaffrey. Miss Jen McCaffrey joins Fitzy, Ball, and Lyons here on a WEEI afternoon. Good afternoon, Jen. Thanks for the time. How you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We had a whole entire different show planned out today with some Patriots, some Celtics, some Bruins talking Four Nations. And then about an hour before the show today, the Rafael Devers bomb drops, if you will, proverbially speaking, from that little presser where he said through his interpreter and then on his own, that he's not going anywhere. He doesn't want to move off of third base and didn't even rule the possibility in the immediate of a trade out of town out. So has there been any immediate fallout that you could gauge so far? I know it's only been a few hours, Jen, but any immediate fallout from Devers' comments?
I wouldn't say immediate fallout. I do think, you know, Alex Cora has known Rafael Devers for, what, since November 2017? I think he knew that this was going to ruffle Devers' feathers. But the team has to make decisions based on how well players are performing. And if, you know, Devers doesn't like it, they're going to have to figure something out. I think there is a path to kind of talking Devers into a DH role at some point. The other part of this that I think got a little bit lost in the mix is, Devers, you know, ended the season last year on the IL with shoulder soreness and didn't really have much of a chance to ramp up his program, his throwing program over the winter. So part of me wonders if he's even going to be ready for the start of the season. Cora talked today about him starting to throw sometime next week, but he's not going to be doing anything really in the field or swinging too heavily over the course of this week. So Devers talked a little bit about that and said that, he's a veteran player and he knows what it takes to get ready. But I think that's also something that's sort of lost in the mix with sort of the surprise of him being so adamant about not moving off third base. So I would say that, yes, it was his definitiveness and his forthrightness in saying that he's not going to DH and that he's a third baseman and he was frustrated by the whole process was surprising, but he's a prideful player. I think we've all kind of known this for a while, that he takes a lot of pride in being able to post routinely, and I think everyone views him as this premier top-of-the-line hitter, and he is, obviously. But he views himself too as a third baseman, and there's going to have to, you know, professional athletes obviously have egos for a reason because they're the best at what they do. But obviously sometimes it takes a little bit of a conversation when they're at a certain point in their career to pivot towards a different path. And you guys were mentioning David Ortiz, and that's something he had to do in his career. I asked Cora today about, is this something that, Devers and Ortiz are close, and, you know, is this something that you might ask Ortiz to talk to him about? And Cora was pretty adamant and said, you know, this is my team. No, I have a good relationship with with Devers, and we're going to figure this out. There's bumps in the road all the time, and, you know, this is something I can handle. So we'll see if that changes. But it's definitely a different tone, I guess, in mood among the team and kind of around the team today versus yesterday when it was all smiles and, you know, excitement with the Bregman signing. Today's a consternation and, you know, confusion about what's going to be happening with the future of a potentially unhappy Rafael Devers.
Yeah, Jen, could you expand on that just a moment on the feeling, the vibe, the mood around the Red Sox that you've noticed in the wake of the Bregman signing? Have you seen guys going out of their way to introduce themselves, and kind of what's the impact of adding a player and a person of that caliber to the mix been on the feeling around Red Sox camp?
Yeah, I mean, since the news broke last week, I feel like there's a lightness among the guys. Trevor Story was, you know, almost giddy in a sense. Walker Buehler is close friends with them, owns a racehorse with them, actually, in Kentucky. There's a lot of connections with Bregman, and not even among the veteran players, but the young stars, Christian Campbell, Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony, his locker, Bregman's locker, is right next to them in the clubhouse. And, you know, Cora was saying on the first day out in the backfield yesterday, Bregman was already trying to give Campbell some tips on, you know, just footwork and whatnot at second base. So he's known as a leadership type guy. He's taken, I think, things to that very quickly. And I've seen him talking at various points over the last few days with those guys, with Campbell, with Meyer, with Anthony. And just sort of kind of enmeshing himself in the team already, following Story around a lot, just because they know each other as well. Story was a big part of, you know, the recruiting pitch to get Bregman here. He said he, you know, sent him several texts over the winter of just encouraging him to sign in Boston and kind of telling him what it's like. And obviously Bregman knows from having played on the other side, but I think he said it was kind of impactful to just kind of hear from guys like that of wanting him in here. So, yeah, until today, you know, it was definitely a different mood a lot among this team on, you know, a very, I would say, yeah, excited and optimistic mood. And I wouldn't say that's completely gone. It's just it definitely was a little bit uncomfortable, you know, with what Devers said today, and just having a guy of that caliber be so vocal about basically saying he's not going to do what the team wants him to do. So we'll see what effect that has on them.
We're talking with Jen McCaffrey of The Athletic. And Jen, I feel like a big piece of this Devers, Bregman, third base situation is Christian Campbell. And if he's going to be ready opening day to be able to play second base, what is your assessment? I know it's early in camp so far, of his progress to this point. Do you think he's on track to be on that opening day roster? Do you think the organization is kind of hoping for him to be in that role to start the season?
I do think so. I mean, you know, before Bregman signed, you know, even thinking back to this time last week, last Monday, you know, the biggest storyline heading into camp was who's going to win the second base job, Campbell or Vaughn Grissom. Grissom came into camp, you know, looking good, looking a lot stronger than he did, you know, at the end of last year when he was sick and kind of worn down and lost a lot of weight. He looks more of the part and looks a lot stronger. So I think it really was going to be this competition between Grissom and Campbell. And I think it still is, because they sound like they're going to be moving Bregman to third base. So I do think a big part of that is seeing if Campbell can kind of take the reins here and break camp with the big league club and, you know, kind of continue the rapid progression that he showed he was capable of last year when he, you know, introduced those swing changes that the team worked on him with, and he jumped three levels and, you know, was Baseball America's minor league player of the year and, you know, is a top 10 prospect for a lot of rankings right there alongside Roman Anthony. So, yes, I think they are very optimistic about how he's going to handle things, but I think they're also realistic of he's a young guy, and you kind of have to see how he's going to play, you know, against major leaguers. This is first big league camp, you know, see how he's going to carry himself. But I do think he's been in kind of all the big league, you know, infield drills. He's, as I said, you know, with Bregman here, he's been kind of Bregman's shadow almost the past few days of getting some instruction and tidbits from Cora a few times. I noticed today was showing him different angles and things like that. So they're very heavily keeping an eye on him, coaching him, and it does seem like, you know, he's going to be very much in the mix.
Jen McCaffrey from The Athletic here on the WEEI Afternoon Show. Earlier today, Jen, we heard from Sam Kennedy, who kind of just didn't intimate, just flat out said that he didn't think that they were done yet, that other moves could be at hand. Is there any idea exactly, are we talking something as big as like a move for a Dylan Cease or another starting pitcher, smaller moves, any other places you could possibly see them addressing if, in fact, another move or two is at hand for the Sox this spring?
Yeah, he did sort of kind of later clarify, you know, I don't see anything imminent or anything like that. So I think he tried to, you know, say that they're never done. Yeah, I think he said something along the lines of, you know, we're not done until the trade deadline or something along those lines. So I think he was trying to sound, you know, like they were continuing to add it. And they might still add. Listen, one of the things that I think we do need to keep an eye on is they had two pitcher injuries this past week that also, I think, have gotten a little that have flown a little bit under the radar because of the Bregman stuff. Cutter Crawford is dealing with his knee injury that apparently he's had since the beginning of last year when he hurt his right knee running to cover first base and did that in the third start of the year. So he pitched the entire year on kind of a bum knee and, you know, saw his velocity dip late in the year. Couldn't really get the strength back, you know, as the offseason progressed. And the same thing with Brian Deo. So, yeah, I think, you know, there's always a possibility of that.
Jen, on the topic of the pitching, there's been a lot of conversation about the idea of a six-man rotation going into the year, just with the amount of pitching depth that the Red Sox have, assuming that everybody's healthy come opening day. Are you a fan of that idea? And if not, is there one of the starting pitchers who you could see transitioning over to the bullpen if the Red Sox don't choose to go in that direction?
I do think it's probably a smart idea to do at various points. The team has a lot of off days too, so it's going to be interesting to see how they manage this. But just given kind of how I was mentioning Crawford dealing with this injury, Bayo dealing with some shoulder soreness, and then you have guys that are coming off of injuries or past injuries. Crochet's obviously last year was his first full year in rotation, but he was previously coming off of Tommy John surgery, and he had an innings limit. Obviously, Walker Buehler didn't pitch a full year last year because he was coming off injury. And then you're looking at guys, and same thing, obviously, with Lucas Giolito, who had the internal brace procedure and hasn't pitched in a whole year since 2023. So I think part of the reason they were thinking of the six-man rotation is, yes, they have six capable guys. You know, this is before, you know, the Crawford stuff. But I think it was also a way to kind of give everyone an extra day's rest because they do have so many guys that have a history of injuries. So I'm curious to see how this is all going to work out. You know, if Crawford isn't ready to go, they still have five guys. But then they also have a good amount of pitching depth that's in AAA that has had big league experience. You know, Cooper Criswell is a guy that might end up in AAA because, you know, they have too many starters in the majors and, you know, pitched several starts for them last year in key spots. You know, but even prospects like Richard Pitts and Quinn Priester, who they got at the deadline last year, isn't a prospect quite anymore, but has big league pitching experience. You know, so I think they have a number of guys that can kind of come up and fill in and spot start, but how they kind of map this out and work this six-man rotation, if that's what they end up doing. They don't want to give guys too much rest because on the flip side, you need guys that kind of have a consistent routine so they don't fall out of routine. So I think there's definitely a balance to all this, and how they map that all out will definitely be something that we're watching throughout the spring.
Just a few days ago, Bregmania was running wild through Red Sox Nation. We were all making October plans and thinking about firing up duck boats and how we would look sitting in that fancy chair by the fireplace with a cigar. Now there's controversy and never a dull moment once again in Red Sox Nation. For the latest and best stuff, you can always give her a follow on the X and as well as on Blue Sky at JC McCaffrey, McCaffrey. Jen McCaffrey of The Athletic, thank you so much for some time and perspective. Great stuff. We'll look forward to catching you soon. Enjoy the sunshine and keep up the great work.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jen. That was terrific. Some good stuff we can sink our teeth into on the flip side of the advertisements, gentlemen. This is the WEEI Afternoon Show with Dan Ball, John Lyons, and Nick Fitzy-Stevens. We'll break down Jen McCaffrey's insight from Fort Myers on the Rafi Devers situation and so much more. Don't you guys go anywhere.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it on WEEI.
Sometimes it takes a little bit of a conversation when they're at a certain point in their career to pivot towards a different path. And you guys are mentioning David Ortiz, and that's something he had to do in his career. I asked Cora today about, is this something that, you know, Devers and Ortiz are close. And, you know, is this something that you might ask Ortiz to talk to him about? And Cora was pretty adamant and said, you know, this is my team. No, I have a good relationship with Devers, and we're going to figure this out. You know, there's bumps in the road all the time, and, you know, this is something I can handle. So we'll see if that changes.
Once again, we were thrilled to be joined by Jen McCaffrey, Red Sox beat reporter for The Athletic, just a few minutes ago here on the WEEI Afternoon Show with Fitzy Ball and the Lion's Den. And if you happen to miss that interview, you can always subscribe to the WEEI Afternoons podcast or download the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Why? Because it is the best for listening to radio stations, podcasts, and more, especially WEEI. Subscribe and listen to the hashtag Dork Podcast, Six Rings and Football Things, and so much more. There's that part of me, boys, that wanted to hear, like, yeah, Poppy knows this is his job now as the unofficial ambassador of Red Sox Nation and the one that, you know, when he speaks, everyone listens. He's the E.F. Hutton. Holy smokes, did I just date myself?
Ooh, wow. Boy. I don't know who that is.
Tell everyone you're in your 50s without saying you're in your 50s, Nick. Jesus.
I'm going to the Google machine as you continue. Yeah.
There used to be an ad campaign for E.F. Hutton, the financial consultant. It was like, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen.
Yeah, what was he, Charles Schwab's dad? Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Founded in 1904. Way to keep it relevant,
yeah, so
there.
He might
Nick
actually
Stevens.
Be Charles Schwab's dad. Yeah.
Holy smokes. That was, anyway, David Ortiz, people love Poppy. So, you know, like, hey, this is what David Ortiz does. We'll call him in. He'll set the kid straight and tell him that you can be the next me. And instead, Alex Cora, that would have been fun. That would have been cool to hear because that's kind of his job. But Alex Cora says, no, I got this. That's in line with him really, like, even declaring his spot a little bit more. Like, he says he's not going to play. Okay, well, I'm the manager, and guess what? What I say goes, not what he says, even if he's paid four times what I'm paid. That's what goes. And also just described it as, like, a little bump in the road. I'm not going to say that this is a bridge that's out and currently on fire, guys, but feels like a little bit more than a bump in the road. Wouldn't you agree?
First part first on the Poppy and Cora dynamic and all of this. I've loved everything that Alex Cora has said and done. Specific to this situation, he was paid as one of the most wealthy managers in the league in order to stay in Boston for three more years. Hopefully, a lot more than that, but at least on this current deal, it's 3 years, and he's acting like it to this point. And as much as I'm all for having the great alum of the Boston Red Sox around and helping with young players, helping, you know, steward them into what is a pressure cooker market and just a place where people pay attention to everything you do all the time. Alex Cora is the manager. He's handling it as the manager down to his players. And the fact that you didn't have to outsource your leadership in this, I'm all in on. But to your second point, Fitzy, I do smell a little smoke coming from down the road on this. I don't perceive a fire in front of me, but as a fan of this team, I look at the decisions that this team has to make in their infield, and I go, all right, so what happens if X happens? Am I going to deal with a player who's now disgruntled and not focused and not committed? And those are conversations in mid-February I don't want to be having right now.
Yeah, and I think this is a moment where Alex Cora, to your point, Dan, is going to kind of earn that top-of-the-market contract because he's got a long-standing relationship with Alex Bregman. They won a championship together in 2017. He's got a long-standing relationship with Rafael Devers. They won a championship together in 2018. So these are two guys that he has a long-standing and largely positive relationship with. And when he signed his extension in the summer, I'm sure part of his calculus was players like Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell, who were coming up, that he was going to manage over the course of the next 3 years. So his balancing here is going to be, I think, one of the keys to the early part of the Red Sox season. We talked, so, and not just us three, but so many people about, oh, the manager in baseball, he's just looking at a spreadsheet, he's getting directions from the front office. And I'm not saying Cora is always like that, but this is that task of a manager where it's not the spreadsheet, the analytics stuff. He's going to have to manage these personnel, two highly paid guys at the same position potentially. He's won championships with both. This is where Cora, to me, is really going to have to earn that top of the market contract, especially early in the year, because I feel like you can get to June or July and kind of have things settled in and have some sort of operating procedure and be okay. But those first couple months, especially if one of those three guys we've been talking about has a slow start, like what if Bregman has a slow start at the plate like
April
he did last year?
April is his worst month of his career.
What if Devers has a slow start in the field like he does almost every year? What if Campbell is ready to be here but still kind of has a slow start? Like, that's how does he navigate that? I think that's a big test for Alex Cora early on, is how he kind of navigates the situation with these three guys.
Yeah, it's in a lot of ways, you know, I know you asked Jen about Christian Campbell, and that could force everything. That could force the hand of Alex Cora and one in many players as to what the opening day roster and rotation in the infield looks like. But also, you know, Jen updated us on a bunch of interesting things, including the fact that Vaughn Grissom last year underweight, wasn't well, had a bad season after the Sale deal, which is what made that look so freaking lopsided. Whereas now he's back in shape, looks good. Hell, you could have three guys that could be fit and ready to go at second base in Christian Campbell, the rookie. Although you may not want to burn that service time. You could have Vaughn Grissom. You could have Bregman as well. Like, there could be a best-case scenario where the Red Sox almost have – this sounds absolutely crazy, and no, I have not had a Gansett before I said this, but the Red Sox could have too many good, capable infielders at this point to break camp and get ready for the season. And,
what's
yeah,
that
maybe
old quote, we're going to have four number ones.
And guess how many, do you have? Yeah, we have three quarterbacks. That means you have none. Exactly. Exactly, John. It could be a mess. It could also work out, but I do like the fact that Alex Cora is being so assertive. A lot more here. I know there were some takeaways that you wanted to extract from that interview as well, John. But first, let's go back to the good people of WEEI. Mike is in the car on this fantastic President's Day. How are you, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, boys? Good show. Good show with the fill-in guys. I appreciate it.
Hell yeah, Mike. Thanks, Mike. Mike gets it.
Hey, It's nice to know I'm not the only one out here working on a holiday. But anyways, you know, the thing with this Devers thing is, I mean, I could honestly talk about this for a long time, but I'll condense it to a 30 to 60 second talk. You know, Devers, in my opinion, they overpaid and overcorrected in reaction to losing Betts, losing Bogaerts. It was like Devers was the last of a big three. So they overpaid him anyways based on the fact that he can't really play defense very well. So at this point, I would be perfectly fine with them trying to move on from Devers if he's unwilling to be a team player. I mean, one of the most beloved athletes in this town, in the history of this town, is Ortiz, who never played.
The guy signed until
he's 36 years old, so it's not... The guy signed until he's 36, so it's not like playing DH is going, or, you know, only being a DH is going to hurt his next contract. But the last thought, too, is he's a good hitter. And obviously, he's one of the best hitters in the game. But if you really look into his numbers, especially his high leverage and late game numbers, he falls off sharply. So this guy is basically A-Rod on the Texas Rangers, putting up numbers that at the end of the season, you look at it and say, oh, he had a pretty good season. But when it's clutch time, when it's, you know, I need someone to win this game for me, it's not Devers that I want to turn to.
Unless it's the Yankees. Then I want him up nine times out of nine.
Derek Cole's
on the mound. Yankee Stadium and Cole is on the mound.
I'll have him hit all nine spots.
Mike, solid call. Thanks very much. And yes, no, we are out here working today on President's Day. It's what our forefathers would have wanted. And this is the way it should be. A lot of different ways we can go with this one right here. A lot of people saying on the text line that this is the epitome of the modern selfish athlete and the me first generation. A lot of people saying that we shouldn't overreact at this point because these comments were fresh, just made now. And some even saying that the Red Sox are kind of to blame for this because they should have tried to warn Rafi Devers longer in advance. Jen kind of intimated to that as well. So we'll unpack some more from Jen McCaffrey's insight from The Athletic on the Rafi Devers situation. Christian Campbell, Alex Bregman, and more down in Fort Myers. By the way, real quick, just saw this on the X platform. Our old pal Bradfoe Show. In other news, per sources, tweeted this a half hour ago. In other news, per sources, Dylan Cease to the Red Sox is a long shot. Sox have no intention of including Willier Abreu in any such deal. So just in case you were interested in that, thought we would provide that little tidbit of insight. Okay, so far today, we have complained about the NBA All-Star Game. We have given proper hip-hops and due love to the Four Nations Tournament. Talked a little Patriots, obviously a whole lot of Devers and Bregman. When we come back, 5 o'clock hour, everything is on the table. Plus, because it is President's Day, we'll do a little President's Day special, John Lyon style. We will tell you who we believe each is the leader, the president, if you will, right now of the Boston sports scene. Maybe a too quick look at the second half, the back half of the seasons for both the Bruins and the Celtics. And when we return with some fresh audio and some insight from the TD Garden, where she's doing some fantastic work at the Four Nations Tournament, Bridget Prue from the Sunday Skate and Skate Pod calls in to tell us what's going on over there in anticipation of Sweden, USA, and Thursday's rematch between Canada and the U.S. It's Fitzy, Ball, Lyons, WEE Afternoon. Thank you guys for being with us.